Our next guest, the frequent visitor when he's here in Chicago to WGN, the pride of Sheboygan, Wisconsin. First ordained a rabbi, but then became a comedian, as his website says, because somebody in the family had to make a living. Remember him from the Ed Sullivan Show and an illustrious career doing stand-up comedy and his Broadway show. And we have decided this morning the most imitated person maybe in the history of show business. Tom, are you there?
Yes, I am. Wait, I'm calling you. What's going on? My agent's listening to the show. He's telling me that you're going to be having people calling in making fun of me. Why should I be part of this thing? I think it's a very, very, it's making fun. It's not fun at all.
Okay, Tom, you sound more like Dracula. I hate to break this to you.
Oh, no, that's not right.
Jackie Mason's on the phone line. Jackie, what'd you think of that?
How do you do? I thought that was brilliant. I thought as long as he stays in business, I got no problem. I think as long as they hear that imitation, people will be looking for me, because everybody will wonder that Jackie Mason can't sound that bad, and they'll go looking for me. But it's very close. It's very close. It sounds more like I belong in a sanitarium than I'm talking to people. But if they think it's me, I'll probably get locked up by Thursday.
Jackie, every time your name comes up, people will go into the, what, dude, Jackie Mason's coming. You've become like the Jimmy Cagney. Remember how everyone used to do a Jimmy
Cagney? That's right, everybody used to do Jimmy Cagney.
Now everyone,
to this day, I still do Jimmy Cagney.
See, now everybody does you. Look how things change.
Well, thank God for that. Thank God for that. James Cagney made a very comfortable living from that business.
Exactly right. Hey, Tom, hang on for
a second. Time till somebody does an impression of you, it helps you make a living.
Well, you can't go wrong with that. I'm going to send you, Tom, a lobster grand package for two.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much for calling up and having some fun with us this morning. Jackie, how the heck are
think
you?
He deserves the lobster for that. He deserves to get shot for that.
That's right. He deserves to be put in a pot of boiling water, right? For that. How are you, my friend?
Thank God I'm making a living. I can't complain. I appreciate the call. It's nice to hear somebody plug my appearance in Chicago, because I can't wait to get there. It's a fantastic city, and it's a brilliant place. It has all the great qualities of New York, without getting killed on every corner. They say New York is safer than ever because of Giuliani, because you once had two out of three chances of getting killed on the streets of New York. It was up to two out of three, but Giuliani brought it down, and now it's only one out of two.
So it reduced it, took it down by half. Jackie's coming to the Auditorium Theater this time, April 13th through the 18th, a week from Tuesday is opening night and runs through that week. At the big old Auditorium Theater. Wow, that's like one of the most historic theaters in town.
Well, it's almost as old as I am.
That's right. Exactly right. Exactly. Now, what's new in the show? You won a Tony Award for your show in Broadway.
Well, it's got to be
four or five years ago now, right?
That's about 8 years ago. My first Tony. I won a second Tony about 5 years ago. Then I got two Emmy Awards, and I got enough awards to keep me busy. I don't need any furniture. I just use all the awards all around my living room.
That's nice.
I got no room for chairs, tables. I just have awards out of every corner. So I'm very honored
very
and
nice.
Thrilled and delighted, because for the first 20 years I was in this business, not only didn't I get any awards, I couldn't get any jobs either.
Well, you know, we all remember, of course, the big controversy from the Ed Sullivan Show, where Ed Sullivan thought you were flashing him the finger, but you're very demonstrative. When you talk, you use your hands, and you've told this story before, where you're just moving your hands. You were not flashing Ed Sullivan the one-finger peace sign, right?
He was basically talking about himself. He was basically kind of a Broadway street guy. He was a very nice man, and he had a good heart. He was a compassionate soul, and I had never felt any kind of antipathy or venom or hostility for him for whatever he did, because he was very sincere. He really thought that I gave him a filthy gesture, and he was shocked by it. He didn't know that I didn't know what I was doing, and he didn't know either, and he was reflecting on his own character, because he would do those type of things, because he was basically the type of a guy who used vulgarity as a way of life. He never did it on television, but that was the way he used to express himself.
Man.
So when he saw me make a finger, he thought it was his own finger.
Yeah,
he didn't know that I was just a rabbi a week ago, and rabbis don't make a living from filthy gestures. And yeah. I didn't even know what it meant at the time.
Yeah, exactly. But he kept you off TV for a while. I mean, it was a little bit of a blacklist.
He didn't purposely keep me off TV, but the hullabaloo that came of it and the turbulent publicity that made me look like some kind of an obscene character.
Now, all that's going on right now in the news is about Janet Jackson and the Super Bowl and the breast exposure, the wardrobe malfunction. You know, they're talking about decency in the media and censorship. But I mean, you were like kind of at the forefront of that 40 years ago.
Right.
But I know in your show you talk about all the news and things that are going on. I imagine you must have some thoughts and comments about that.
Oh, I certainly do, and I usually don't want to tell you these great gems for these prices, but I'll be glad to. But I'll be glad to help out.
I appreciate that.
a radio interviewer has a great job. All he has to sit there and say, "What else do you know?" The other guy knocks himself out, then you make a living.
That's right.
This is not a bad job.
Yeah, I like it that way.
Well, you bring out a subject, go ahead, knock yourself out, and I'll listen. And at the end of the show, somebody would think I would make a few dollars. Instead of that, they pay you. I can't figure this out.
That's the beauty of this whole thing.
The same thing with DJ Leno and Letterman. They got the greatest racket in the world. The biggest stars in the world come to Letterman and Leno, and they do the best jokes they can, the best material they can, to be hoist and sweat and struggle. And Jay Leno just has to come with a press suit. He just stands there with a perfect shirt and a tie for $37 million. And the guy that comes there, like George Collins or Don Rickles or whoever it might be, they sweat and struggle. Robin Williams is falling off chairs and tables, jumping and flying all over the building, sweating like a pig. How much? $11.
That's right.
$11.
Meanwhile,
Jay Leno takes home $37 million for watching him. There's people make a fortune from watching shows. They got a chair and a table. They watch a show. They make a fortune. The people who do the show go home with nothing.
Yeah, so you need to get a show like that, Jackie.
I need to, but somehow they got it already. But let me tell you what I really think. That's a very pertinent, relevant question you asked about.
It is because you've been so controversial. Sure, of course.
Because I really think that what the multiplication of that story into so much hostility for anybody who says a dirty word is totally misplaced and disjointed. Because who are they attacking? Howard Stern or Man Cow? People on radio who are showing you nothing. They might just be saying a dirty word. You don't want to hear a dirty word, turn it off. In order to hear it, you have to turn it on, which means you have the freedom of choice. If you decide to hear a dirty word and you want to turn it on, this is supposed to be a free country. What happened to the fact that it's a free country? Nobody confronted you with it. The radio doesn't play by itself. And Howard Stern doesn't come to your house personally and tell you dirty words. If somebody would think that you opened the door and there he was in the living room cursing you. He's not there.
But
he's on the radio.
Well,
you don't want to hear it, don't turn it on.
Well,
that's what's called a free country.
I want to ask
you a question. The same people who have contempt for him and want to fine him hundreds of millions of dollars, what do you think happens? They don't disturb the Sopranos. The Sopranos have the F word before they even say hello. Every second word on the Sopranos is F this. They even say F to their mother, to their sister, to their brother. Everything starts with an F word. Even when they have nothing to say, the F word is there. That show is filthy in 5 minutes. Then Howard Stern could compile in a month.
But don't you think there's a difference, though, between a cable show that you pay money to bring into your home and a radio that...
I want to ask you a question.
That's on free media that somebody... You can just turn on the radio and a kid...
The radio didn't come there by itself. You paid for the radio.
Well, you paid for the radio, but a child could turn it on, or even worse than that. Your family is watching the Super Bowl. You're watching the Super Bowl thinking you're going to watch a football game and a little entertainment in the middle, and instead you get a wardrobe malfunction and you're watching a woman's breast... Not that there's anything wrong with the human body or anything, but don't you think that some of these things are inappropriately placed or placed?
If the thing is placed like that was with the Janet Jackson, that was disgusting because it didn't belong there all of a sudden. Even though that, I don't think it's such a horrible thing in the first place. You're very right that it was involuntary. You didn't choose to watch that. You thought you were watching a football game, which is very right. And all of a sudden, here's a breast right in front of your face. But so you say, oh, children could be disturbed, offended. Nauseous. First of all, to protect children from seeing a breast, I think is stupid in the first place. A child has a breast in his mouth from the day he's born till he's 5 years old. Doesn't he know what's in his mouth? He never saw it. You think he has it in his mouth and doesn't know what's there?
Sure.
They don't blindfold the child before they let it. They put it in his mouth.
You
ever see a kid saying, "There's something in my mouth. I don't know what the hell it is."
Yeah. What is that? Thank goodness I saw the Super Bowl. Now I know what that is.
And then from the time you're five till you're 15, you probably don't see it again. And when you're 18, all of a sudden there it is again.
Yeah. I have more of a problem.
From the time you're 18 till you're 75, you're chasing that same thing, and it's always either you're either touching it, holding it. Next to it, this is not vulgar. This is true. When you go out with a girlfriend, when you're married, or whatever, your whole life life. There it is. So all of a sudden, it became the dirtiest thing. What were they afraid of? That children would think this girl only has one, and everybody is. Or were they offended that they showed it too short? You didn't get a chance to see it long enough. What were they offended about?
Exactly.
Let's assume there's a reason to be offended, and it wasn't voluntary. And let's assume you're right. But The Sopranos is certainly voluntary. The fact that you call it cable. What difference does it make if you call it cable or you had to pay for it? Nevertheless, every child has a clicker, and they can see it whenever they please.
Well, that's
and
true.
It's and it's the same, and it's just as much in front of you, and it's much a lot more graphic than Howard Stern. Howard Stern only talks about it, so a kid might not even know what he's talking about.
Right. The bottom line is, if you don't like it, turn it off, and when no one's listening or watching anymore, it'll go away. Now, I mentioned
nobody
a lot.
Nobody thinks that on radio your mind is working, but if you call it cable, all of a sudden you got Alzheimer's and you don't hear it.
I know nobody thinks my mind is working on radio. That much I know. I imagine a lot of your act, you must be talking about the president and the war and the situation in the Middle East as well, right?
I do a lot of material on everything that's happening in political situations because I make sure my act is always brand new by the time I come to Chicago. And I don't talk about yesterday's news like some of the old comedians say. When you watch another older comedian, you would think the Titanic wasn't even sunk yet. You would think this is
kind of old material. Yeah, that's right.
You would think you're in the reading room of a doctor's office and you're reading magazines.
A lot of Eleanor Roosevelt jokes. I know. You got to update your material once in a while. I know. I understand.
But I make sure that everything I talk about is current and new and it's all relevant to what's happening.
Jackie, how do you plan your show? I mean, do you go in because it sure seems like everything's just floating off the top of your head? And every time you've been with me, everything is very spontaneous. Never any notes. Anything. What is the actual process? Do you kind of make a little outline of what you want to talk about?
The truth is, between me and you, I have no legitimate construction to my act, and there's no organized methodology to it. I don't approach it as an art form with a delicate perfectionism of a beginning and an end. I don't stand in front of mirrors rehearsing. I don't make sure that my posture or my face turns this way or that way, or my shoulder goes the other way, or my line starts with this exact word or precise line. I make sure that I study and learn, and I'm a voracious, intensive student. To this day, as much as I was when I was 12, I'm a violently committed researcher. And I'm always analyzing, thinking, and studying everything that's happening on the whole scene of life.
So really, most of your rehearsal is just reading the paper that day and seeing what's going on, right?
It's a lot about the papers. It's a lot about studying people, studying the art forms, the culture, the character of the society, the psychological things that are changing in this world, the new changes in trends and lifestyles and human behavior in general. And I try to see how well steeped I could be in all the trends of the universe and to keep up with what's happening and to develop my own attitudes about it, my own approaches to whatever I see looks hypocritical, pretentious, nonsensical, ridiculous, whatever I see happening around me. There's so much in human behavior. I don't talk just about politics. I make sure that it is a diversification of material so that it could be interesting to everybody.
Last time you were in Chicago, Jackie, I think it was last time, there was a lot of controversy when you were here because I forget where it was that you were playing, but apparently there was a Palestinian comic who was
the bill. I remember that story.
And there was lots of controversy. I mean,
was a huge controversy.
Front page of every newspaper, every newscast, everything here.
Right.
What was the resolution of all of that?
The resolution was that he didn't have me much in his life, and I don't have him much in mine. He didn't bomb my building, even though I think he was preparing to. He probably lost his place. Thank God he doesn't know where I live. And his friends haven't located me yet, so I'm still safe. But but the point really was that I had no intention of barring a guy from a job because he's a Palestinian. It was just an opportunity for this guy to see if he could develop some publicity on the basis of creating a big fracas and to use my reputation so as a railroad to start him. He obviously didn't have enough faith in his own talent or his own jokes, so he figured if he could start a big fight with somebody better known, maybe his name will wind up in the paper and he'll become a hit. And for him, it worked.
So you...
It's right, because he manufactured a story about nothing. I never turned him down because he's a Palestinian. I'm not that low, and I'm not that prejudiced. Or to me, a guy who would stop somebody from making a living because he's a Palestinian, I don't care how Jewish he is a lowlife. There's something disgusting about barring somebody from a job because you don't like his heritage.
Any race, creed, or color.
Though. Right. Yeah. There's no such human being. I don't care for let's assume I met a German today. His father was a Nazi, but he's not trying to kill Jews. He's just trying to tell a joke. If this Palestinian didn't come after me with an axe, He was looking for a microphone. He wasn't looking for a gun.
Right.
He was looking for a place to perform. Why should I buy him? I'm not that... To create the impression that I'm that low of prejudice was in itself disgusting.
Well, I'm glad, a good thing that it's all over, and maybe you can offend some other group this time when you come to Chicago. That's the beautiful thing about you. You really go after everybody, and we'll get to enjoy it all April 13th through 18th. Jackie Mason, Freshly Squeezed is the name of the show. If it's in the news, it's in the show. April 13th through the 18th at the Auditorium Theater, 312-902-1400. Jackie, I hope we sold a couple of tickets for you.
Well, thank God.
The least we can do, right?
Thank God. I hope you make a living yourself. In case you ever need help on my show, don't be ashamed to ask me.
Okay, I will. Well, we're going to...
You showed yourself a man with a lot of class. I didn't know if you were Palestinian or not, but either way, I hope you make a living.
We're gonna see you when you're in Chicago. We're looking forward to seeing the show, and have a wonderful day today.
Thank you, my friend.
All
take
right.
care of yourself.